Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols is back with us on a tactical fitness report, and we're going to talk about running. And this is a specific running topic for the tactical athlete, because what I have seen throughout the years, and Jeff too, has been a lot of the guys will get running workouts from running athletes, that have a whole lot of mileage built into it, a huge aerobic base. Next thing you know, they're running 50 miles a week and they're not really, they're kind of missing the point of what it is to become a tactical athlete. For me, Jeff, I always have a process of building up, a logical progression. And a logical progression is, building your aerobic base, so you can be a better runner. But in this world, you also have swimming available. You have weightlifting and high rep calisthenics available that are also helping you physiologically to not only build that aerobic base, but build that anaerobic training process that you also need, to be the tactical athlete. So you're missing the boat if you're doing crazy long distance runs given to you by some running coach, which is fine. That's great for running athletes, but we're talking tactical athletes here. So let's talk about the options, Jeff, that people have. I know you have a great running program that focuses on, you have a base building process, but it's a little bit different than long, slow distance base building process.
Yeah, I think that, and it's probably where you and I are actually probably most similar that people don't realize is that the question basically Stu's asking is like, how does that work for you? And I go, well, just like Stu, the first step is like, we're actually, when I began writing my programs and continue to do them, the first thing I keep in mind is like, hey, this has got to be accomplished over a reasonable timeline. Like that's the first thing. Like as a coach, it's like, oh man, wouldn't it be awesome if I could get my athletes up to 50 miles and handle that load? And da-da. Yeah, that would be awesome if we could do that. But in the same context as a power lifter, it's like you don't start off in a weight room at 500-pound bench press. I use these examples of sport and things because I'm trying to get people to realize that that's all weight training is. If we approach it like it is a sport, which many of us come from, and we begin to build our volume in the same way we build our skill in sport over time, appropriate time and skill acquisition, what you find is that the only way that you can ever get to that 50 miles, unless you're an absolute freak, is over that time and over that appropriate dosing. And that's the thing too, is like, I don't want anyone to get misunderstanding like that. I am not a proponent of running. What I am not a proponent of is what we're talking about here, is beginning your volume acquisition, your dosing of your running at what you would hope to be at the end state, right? A year later, right? Yeah, we want to get you there, but that is not how a person starts off by running. Like what Stu says, hey, we need our guys to run a 6-minute mile for the during the mile and a half, that pace. And during a 4-minute mile, he's saying, hey, I need my guys running 7-minute mile paces. Well, he didn't start them off there. We're not starting our athlete with X-rays. So necessarily that's what Stu is saying. I'll bring this big aircraft carrier turnaround. My point is that Stu is saying like, hey, build that volume. I'm saying, yes, build that volume. And we're saying, yeah, we want to build volume towards that 40 and 50 mile mark. But in the same way, we're saying, hey, a lot of these programs are coming from track and cross-country coaches that receive athletes already ready to run. So for most people that go, hey, and Stu and I are saying all the time, go find a track coach to help you run. What we probably should have said is when you go find that track coach, first thing tell them, I don't run well. I needed to build a program that will get me to this mile. With no base of running, with no base of aerobics, no base of swimming. And so that's what we're trying to do, guys, is we are trying to get you to that volume, but we're not going to do it the first 6 to 8 weeks.
No.
We're going to do it over 6 to 8 months,
Oh,
over a
easy.
year,
Yeah.
you know. And here's the thing is, if you are the type of person, this is my opinion, that someone says, like that Stu and I, that I think that we're really trying to do a good job of directing you all. If either one of us say, hey, you should probably take the next year, year and a half to do it, there's a reason why we're saying that. Okay. Because that in of itself, that process, that year, year and a half process is the figuring out process. If you instantly go, I don't know, I don't have 18 months. Well, then you know what? You don't have my time or attention. And you also really are kind of discrediting or disrespecting the process that so many people before you put the time in to do.
Right.
So it's almost a litmus test. And we're saying, hey, it's going to take you a year to do this mile, get this mileage up. Well, no, I got to do it in 8 weeks. then I'm not your coach.
Yeah, I would agree with that a lot. But, you know, a lot of people come into this training journey with already a good background and foundation of some form of athletics that has built that base already. You know, it may be lacrosse, it may be wrestling, it may be rowing. Those guys run their butts off.
Yeah.
Just different, you know. So, you know, you might be able to progress, you know, or start and progress a little faster than someone obviously who is new to everything.
Right.
It's two different conversations. I don't even want to have that conversation. What I want to have the conversation is here's what you need as a tactical athlete, right? You don't need a cross country running program to get better at running. No. What you need is a 6 minute mile for your PSTs. And that, you know, depending on your branch of service, that's a mile and a half, a 2 mile or a 3 mile. 6 minute mile pace is going to get you in that ballpark you need to be competitive. And then, you know, a 7 minute mile for 4 and 5 mile, 6 mile timed runs, you know, depending on what branch of service you're in. But for Bud's sakes, every week you're going to take a 4 mile timed run. If you can do that in 28 minutes without having to gut check yourself to do it.
Yes, that's exactly. Yes.
That is where you want to be. My weakness was running, right? And I probably hit it a little mix of everything. I did a lot of mileage. I did a lot of goal pace running. I did some sprints, and that's kind of how I have always kind of developed training to kind of get a good mix of all of those. And in hindsight, you know, it was just one of my weaknesses. It was just one of those things that if I was going to run a 27, 28 minute timed run, it required a little bit of a gut check. I could do it, but I had to dig deep a little bit. If I had a bad day, which you do, might've hit a 29. Right. Yeah. But you know, I think the limit is 32 in first phase, 31.
It's 29, I think, in third, right?
Yeah. 29 in third phase.
I just really remember that just because my very first run in first phase was 29 minutes. And every single run for all three phases were plus or minus a couple seconds from 29 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
it's like, I'm good here.
Yeah. It's a good place to be, you know? Yeah. But for me, unfortunately, it was just one of those little gut checks. I didn't have to check into mental toughness for the swims or the PTs, you know, even for the logs and boats. I mean, they weren't fun, you know, they weren't gut checks either. They weren't crushing
and working towards your strength. Something that was going to be difficult for everyone. It worked towards yours and I's strength.
Yes.
With our background in strength training.
And exactly. So that was how my journey went. But a lot of people are just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to work on their strength training more. And if you're one of those guys, I wouldn't recommend, and you're good at running already, I wouldn't recommend maintaining that kind of running volume.
Yeah. Let me pause you. Let me just reiterate because that's a really important thing I want you to say. So if correct me if I'm wrong, Stu, you're saying, this is the advice, because this is the same advice I'm giving. So you're telling me, Stu, if you have a cross-country guy from Virginia Tech that says, hey, my PST time, I'm running it in 7.5 minutes or 6:30 a mile and a half, I need to drop it. Because someone messaged me this week, Marine Corps OCS.
Yeah.
He's already running a sub-27 5-miler. It was 27-minute 5-miler is what he's running.
Damn, yeah.
And he wants to run faster.
Yeah.
He's 148 pounds. Yeah. He's at the Naval Academy. He's a junior at the Naval Academy.
Wow.
And I was like, no.
He's going Marine Corps?
Yeah, in Marine Corps OCS, he's sub 27 minutes on his run, and he's 140 pounds at the Naval Academy Junior and wants to run faster. And we're like, no, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're competing in a cross-country meet, understand why you want to run faster. But yeah,
the advice is this, is like, hey, keep doing all the training you're doing. You're going to gain weight. That's okay. But you won't get slower. And that's okay too. Like that's what we're trying to tell you guys. Like there's almost this podcast is almost about this like reassurance that lesser mileage at a higher velocity is going to yield the results you want until it is, you need to acquire that. Cause see, that's the thing is the amount of volume you guys are going to acquire in training. If you're following my or Stu's programming, at some point, this is going to sound weird. At some point, you will never need the necessity to run 7, 8, 10, 15, 20 miles. Like you won't have to ever run that to acquire any more beneficial adaptation.
Right.
Based on the, so because that's what we're trying to say is like, yeah, is it relatively possible that you're going to encounter the most physically exhausting thing of your life in the military? It's possible. Yes. Very possible. Should every day's training be equipped to acquire that adaptation? No, because you can't acquire an adaptation for something you don't know what you ever encounter is. So just knowing that amoebus, like, I don't know what I'm going to encounter, but I know I'm going to encounter the most exhausting thing. Well, how do we do that? We acquire that over time in the same way a child would learn to walk. It's dosing. A child doesn't just stand up and go, I can walk.
Yeah,
right? An 18-year-old young man doesn't just go, hey, I'm 18 years old. All of a sudden now I have this physical capability of a 22-year-old me, not me, Jeff Nichols, the 22-year-old you in the future of the 18-year-old going, yeah. So is it possible? Yes. Is it reasonable to do this? Yes. But is it the best avenue for the 100% population to go to acquire all this mileage right of the way? No. For the future, okay? So what we're saying is build that volume smartly if you ever really want to build that much volume. Or you end up being a candidate that might actually need this much volume, right? In just running. But we're talking about you got to do swimming. You got to do a lot of other things too. So we are a proponent of adding and including a lot of miles, but not at the expense of you not having the ability to maintain a pace. That's the key right there.
Yeah.
The mileage in which you acquire or accrue or build up on is only as good at the pace in which you do it, especially since you guys are being timed. If it was just, hey, you just need to complete a distance, we wouldn't be talking time and pace. But you guys, based on the necessity of the qualifications of each course, they're timed arrived. So we do actually have to pay attention to time.
Yeah. Well, think about this. You know, I had a guy recently start running with us, and he runs 70 miles a week. Okay. And I said, you need to drop that significantly. Because one, you don't need to run that much.
Drop the zero two, off the back end of it. If he's already running that much volume.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was talking about, yeah, I was thinking about dropping it down to 50. No, go further.
Drop it down to 10.
Yeah, you know, I actually said, I compromised with him. I said, keep it between 20 and 25. I mean, that's huge.
It's still for him is a huge cutoff of volume that he still might be able, because he's probably been running forever.
Yes.
And if you chop off that much volume, he can probably add calisthenics and weight training without overtraining.
Absolutely. Yes, probably. And swimming.
Yeah, and swimming.
Yeah, I said, here's what you got to do. You know, think of your time in the pool as time running. So you've accumulated this aerobic time that is going to be roughly the same as you running 70 miles a week. You're just taking out half of it or more than half of it and replaced it with swimming. Still, physiologically, the same benefit.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Without all the impact. Yep. And now you work on swimming. You can now have some energy to work on your upper body because you weigh 140 pounds. There's a reason why you weigh 140 pounds because you've been running your ass off literally to do that. And you know what was even worse is that his mile and a half time was like a 10:30.
Yeah, he's got no power, no
so,
strength and endurance.
Yeah, so yeah. he's running a 7-minute mile, which he should be at a 6-minute mile. So here's how I reframed him. I said, you only need to run a maximum of 4 to 5 miles per run in a week. So let's say you get 25 miles in a week, but they got to be changed up. You have to be working on faster pace. You got to work on your goal pace every quarter mile, 90 seconds. Right. Yep. Every half mile, 3 minutes. So now you're focusing on intervals with a specific goal in mind versus just long, slow distance, where all it really does is get you good at running slowly.
Yes. Yeah. So if you, cause you listen to what Stu said, like this guy is running 70 miles a week. He's got a very fast mile, but he's got a very slow mile and a half relative to what we perceive as a capability. So am I calling this guy slow? No. No. He is running incredibly fast a mile. He's not able to maintain that pace over a mile and a half. Why is that? Right. So what you see, folks, right here is a perfect, perfect case example of, wait a minute, more miles does not yield a faster time. No, because over those 70 miles, his average acceleration per mile and a half still is too slow for the sprint naval special warfare or the army or whoever's asking you to do. The mile and a half is damn near a sprint distance.
Yeah.
Damn near. Why is that a sprint? So this is what's defined as a sprint distance in Olympics. A sprint distance is a distance in which above 85%, 82 to 85% of state of acceleration can be maintained. It's damn near done in a marathon, right? We got someone that ran 26 miles with a sub 3-hour time.
Yeah, it's insane.
So he just did his 100 meters every 100 meters at about 14 seconds. So you start doing the math, right? That's why this man didn't run 26 miles at that pace because he slowly started quickening his time. he did it because his first split was already fast. And that's what has to happen with a mile and a half, guys. Your 800 meter split needs to be as fast, right, as your last 800 meters.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the difference. That is what long distance running does not develop. It does not develop speed reserve. It really increases your mitochondria. It really increases your capillaries in your muscles and things. But that's what cardio is.
But that's not what running. Swimming does.
Yes. Yeah. So just all this long sort of things like. It's really unfortunate that for some people, it feels like we're trying to pull the wool over your eyes and you're getting advice from someone saying, hey, you should do 40 to 70 miles a week. And this person's it's naval special warfare or it's a, division one track athlete, whatever. Like, oh, this must work for them. But we're trying to say, hey, no, like if you were actually at an institution that was really coaching the four miler or the mile and a half, and that was the test. At Arkansas, at LSU, at Iowa, Michigan, Stanford, whatever it is, the way that we're explaining you how to run is exactly how those coaches would have those athletes run those 4 miles or those mile and a half runs. It's not just run more, right? We don't just show up at the track at the University of Arkansas or Oregon. And the track coach is like, Bill Bowerman wasn't to Steve Prefontaine. All right, man, just run more today. It doesn't work that way, right? Just think about that, okay?
Yeah. And the big thing is there's a difference between athletes and athletic events that compared to tactical athletes and the tactical athletic events. Yeah. Because yes, you might have a 4 mile timed run today for the tactical athlete. The athlete may have a 5K to do today. Similar events. However, yeah. The tactical athlete has also been bear crawling for the last 2 hours, is wearing combat boots and a pair of pants and running on a beach.
On 4 hours of sleep.
And already wet. It's a different ball game altogether, and he's just got through doing a upper body PT that lasted for 90 minutes on the grinder, Yeah. So there's a reason why you have to get good at everything. And you don't need to be great at any of them. Now, Compared to other Bud students, you may be great. If you can run a 4 mile timed run in 25 minutes, that is great. at Buds. I mean, that is, you're going to be in the top five of the class if you're doing that.
Yeah. Right?
That's hauling. Yeah. Most everybody's towards the 27, 28 zone and then even closer to the minimums. I mean, there are people flirting with the minimums every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's why people get kicked out.
Yeah.
You know, we actually had a guy from the Naval Academy actually fail out of Buds because, you know, during COVID, he wasn't training like he was normally doing. He was, all he could do is run. So he ran his ass off, literally. And unfortunately, he got good at running slow. And he couldn't get that 4 mile timed run underneath 32 in first phase.
Because once that stress shows up, and you're not in control of it, folks. So let's be really, really clear. The stress that you're going to encounter, I mean, yes, you're in control of it because you made a choice. But when you show up to Buds, like, and that's what also, these are the sort of things that we can't really, it's hard to deliver the message, guys. It's like, when you show up there, one of the worst things you can do is show up overtrained, right? And that's not so much a case anymore because of the whole pipeline and some things. If anything, it's lats, it's an undertraining. But in this case, is a perfect example. It's like the process, the test, Buds will call it. It's not changing, okay? It's not an ever-changing, evolving. It's every year. It's not getting more and more difficult. It's not changing. And because that system isn't necessarily changing, right? We've put these, Stu and I put these systems in place that are really effective, really efficient. And just, I always think it's strange because I remember when if I was a kid or if I just think it's like, if I had this much access to this much information when I was a Bud student, maybe it'd been too much for us.
I think so. I don't know. There's a lot of information out there now, Dave.
Yeah.
You're exactly
so,
right.
You know, I think that's just our interest. Our interest is just sharing with you guys the best way to go through it. And they may seem to be different, but the only thing that makes it, from my opinion now, that looks that any at all makes Stu and I's programs look different is just the day to day. Like if any given day may look different, but at an 18 month or a year out, our programs are the same. Right. And then Stu's got things that I don't and vice versa. And it's like, I think between the two of us, if you can master that methodology through ours, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you shouldn't be physically prepared.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, mine's a system and it's a way to train. I always tell people it's a way to train, not the way to train. And you know, I can't tell you how many of my guys come in and said, hey, I'm doing Jeff's hypertrophy training cycle right now. I said, all right, yeah, hit the weight room. We're going to the pull-up bars, you know, and you know, it's just the way it is. You know, he needed a hypertrophy cycle.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't necessarily need to be doing calisthenics and running still.
Yeah. You know, so your 101 best pyramid workouts were perfect. I mean, like in all the calisthenics stuff that I don't dabble in and deal in, there's no reason for me to rewrite it since you've already done it.
Yes, I would say too.
Whatever, man. I'm good.
It's a big fitness world out there. And
there's plenty of you guys. Yeah. There's plenty of you guys to work.
We can share it.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, let's just look at it physiologically on an aerobic base search. You know, if you're searching for an aerobic base and you're not much of a runner, the last thing you want to do is build up your running so fast and so quickly that now you have an injury.
Yeah.
So I was that guy because anything over 100 yards was long distance for 19-year-old Stu.
Yeah.
And I started doing triathlon training. 2/3 of my aerobic base was non-impact cardio. And you know, my running progressed pretty well over time, but you know, it took some time. It took a significant amount of time. And I just doing calisthenics and triathlon training for over a year. And then I would flirt around with a lift cycle for a little bit, but not much. But for the most part, I didn't really go into my normal lifting routine, which was a power lifting football training routine that I knew that was my, when I say I didn't weightlift, that's what I'm saying. I didn't do a power lifting football training routine for, you know, 18 months before SEAL training. And there's a reason for that. I didn't need to get any better at those lifts.
Yeah.
Even after 18 months of not really lifting like that, I was still one of the stronger guys in the class when it came to those kind of lifts. I was what I call good enough.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was good enough, but I wasn't good enough in some of the other cardiovascular events that, you know, required a little bit more of my attention, a little bit more of my mental preparedness going into it. Every 4 mile time run I saw on the schedule, I knew that was kind of like my game day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I had to mentally prepare for that 4 mile timed run in order to be acceptable in a program that has an 80% attrition rate. You want to be flirting in the top 20%.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at it as a numbers game.
Yeah.
Right. If you're flirting in the bottom 20% and it's an 80% attrition rate, chances are you may not be there for more than 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, guys, is like, again, it's hard to relay the message for me in summary, but to the best of my ability, me trying to recall how I felt, you know, at Buds and things like that, and just kind of how that everything was, and you know, how training was, just all that. I'm trying to still trying to recall a lot of that to give advice. But the reality is that, Are you at Buds putting out a lot of physical work? Yes. Is that physical work at a tremendous high velocity, like high technical skill, high this? Not really. It's not. Are there moments? You betcha. There are definitely spikes in those moments of intensity all through. You betcha. But again, what I do is I look at it from a standpoint of athletics. How would an athletic coach, like how would a decathlete coach watch Buds? How would they look at that? And so I was in this unique position as an exercise physiologist going through Buds, accomplishing these things, going, how do I do this stuff easier? You know, and it's like, you know, you climb, like, for example, it's like, it's a thing that, you know, you see people climbing the 60-foot cargo net, climb it really, really close to the pole, or I don't know if they'll let you do it anymore. I got yelled at and then they let me do it. I actually climbed the pole, the rope on the pole, just because I can go so fast straight up that, because there's no sag.
Definitely tighter. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And so I'm looking at that and see people struggling with it. And I'm like, why don't we climb on the side? So I just went completely to the side of the net and just started climbing up it. I got about 3/4 up and before someone yelled at me and I was like, oh, whatever, I'm already up here anyway. But so my point is I actually do look at this from a standpoint of like, I'm not trying to make it cheat. I'm not trying to make it easier in the sense of like, here's all the tricks for Buds. I look at it and go, how do I take my physical body and propel it over that loose net the fastest? And that's how I looked at Buds. Like, how do I do log PT better? How do I, in my preparation, I'm like, how do I run 4 miles as fast as humanly possible? Well, I went and saw a track coach. Okay. And I asked this very question. If you had 4 miles to give your athletes to run, how would you structure them over time? How would you write that program? And he wrote the program and go, oh, I'll do that. You know, I just looked at it as each individual, as an individual sport.
Yes.
But realize, like, you know, if swimming is a sport and cross country is a sport and lifting weights is a sport, you can't do them all at once.
Right. Or you can't get better at all of them at once.
You bet. So that's where periodization comes in. Right?
Yeah. You can do them all at once to maintain one or two if you're trying to get better at the other.
You bet.
You know, it's, you know, same way with lifting. You know, if you're trying to get stronger, it's really hard to get stronger at the same time as you're trying to run faster.
Yeah. They're just different energy systems.
Yeah. Unless you're doing sprints, because that's a football workout.
Totally. Right?
You're doing sprints and agility and stuff like that. Different animal. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's my point, guys, is like really evaluate. As coaches, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to offer you like information that is relevant to you. We're not trying to contradict anyone's information or advice. We're just trying to say, hey, if you have to be an advocate for yourself. It's like going to a doctor. It's like, you got to speak up and tell them what you need. And whereas coaches are saying, hey, you need to understand this is what you need.
Yeah.
So as you're following a program and it doesn't fit with what your goals are, you can just make a change.
Yeah. And just realize if you're trying to get yourself up to 40, 50 miles a week, which in my opinion is not necessarily needed to get through buds. I mean, you could do it with 30, 35, just make it fast.
Yep.
You can do it with 25. Just got to be, have
you
a
it fast.
Good,
yeah.
You just have to do it fast, but you also need to be there for a while. So what I mean by that is, you know, you build up to 25, you want to stay there for a little while and build up that kind of durability in running over time versus still progressing in the same time and breaking. You know, you can maintain that durability, maintain your speed, even build your speed, you know, when you're not overdoing your total mileage. And then, you know, you go on to buds and you don't overuse other, you know, right. joints and shins and, you know, other running type injuries that occur.
It's a pretty straightforward thing, guys. Like what he's saying is like, as you're building mileage, if you are building mileage and your times are going slower, you're adding too much mileage too soon. It's really that simple. It sounds too simple to be true, but the reality is that if you cannot maintain a state of acceleration in the physical world, that's this earth, right? Then the force production or the force management is not there. How do we acquire that? You have to dose yourself appropriately over time. Okay. That's all it is if you're like, and that's why time is so important, because we're like, oh yeah, you're just going to keep adding distance over the 6 weeks. No, 8 to 9 months to a year in periods of time. You might do it for run specifically for 6 to 8 weeks. And not run at all for 6 to 8 weeks. So over the period of year, you should have probably done 4 to 5 or 6, depending on your need, of course, running programs to begin to drop that time in a periods over periods of time, not in a single linear bout. You don't get all your strength in a single linear program. You don't get all your endurance. It's broken up in phases, folks.
Yeah, I agreed. I have a running program that actually takes you from 15 miles a week. So you've already had some running background and you can handle 15 miles a week. And it takes you to 30 to 35 in 26 weeks. So that's a little over 6 months that we've only increased your mileage by, you know, 15 to 20 miles a week.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty steep progression, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For the non-running athlete, especially.
Yeah. Over 6 months. Yeah. But it's doable. And then see, that's the thing is like, that's reasonable.
Yes.
Provided you as the athlete are fair to yourself in beginning that program.
Yeah. It actually runs a 10 to 15% progression every week. So it progresses pretty quickly because you're starting at 15 miles.
Right.
So you actually basically add a mile a week and more, you know, as you get up a little bit better in that 10 to 15% zone. But anyway, running, it's a big debate out there. And I tell you what, it crushes people's dreams, you know, out, no matter what program you're in. And then when you add weight to it, and they're doing a lot more rucking now at Buds, you know, that's another reason why you need to progress with your running logically, you know, and, you know, have a good running base before you start adding weight to it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. They just start rucking, you know,
with no
base at all.
that's another topic, right?
Yeah,
you do rucking one. Yeah. So,
exactly.
Yeah, again, that's just, hopefully that helps, guys. But the reality is like, again, it goes right back to our advice. Choose a good timeline to prepare for these courses, and you'll be able to accommodate all of these things, and you'll be able to make mistakes, which is totally fine. Make some mistakes over 18 months. Awesome.
And the cool thing about 18 months too, is it allows you to play around with a few gut check events.
Gotcha. Yes. You plan those. Exactly. Like you actually plan those in relative to your current state and go, oh, because wouldn't it be great? This was my goal. Wouldn't it be great? You show up to Buds and to the best of your recollection, you look around and go, oh, we're doing log PT and go, I've done stuff way harder than this 90 minutes. You know, like, have I ever done long PT with a group of dudes on the beach? No. I exerted myself arms overhead in this position more in this way over a course of a 90 minute workout?
Just carry lunges.
Yes, I have. Yeah. I used to run. I said, the strength coach at Troy, the head strength coach, he's got pneumonia and COVID right now.
Oh.
Funny enough, I was messaging, but I used to run the stadiums at Troy. I used to, DeMarcus Ware and I had 100-pound dumbbells, 100-pound. We'd run the entire stadium with the weight over our head.
Damn.
And I did it with strength shoes. I remember those Spalding strength
shoes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
So I'm saying this out loud for you to not do it, folks. Like, I really thought I ruptured both my Achilles. Oof. I did an entire football stadium with a 100-pound plate over my head with the Spalding strength shoes with DeMarcus Ware when we went on a Sunday. One time. And I was like, the strength coach showed up. His house was right next to the stadium. He showed up because I was every Sunday I'd work out and DeMarcus and I would work out wherever. And he'd pull in and I was like, DeMarcus is just an absolute.
Wait, you say DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarcus Ware.
Like Cowboys?
Yeah. Hall of Famer. So that, when I was a strength coach at Troy, he, you know, his sophomore, junior, and senior year. Anyway,
nice.
What a great, great person DeMarcus Ware is. What a great hard worker, man. Anyway, so he was going into his senior year, and it was like right before, it was the end of summer, so it was right before like season's going to kick off. DeMarcus is on the field with a 100-pound plate over his head, running over his head with me, and the coach shows up, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" This guy's going to be a first round pick. And he's like, because DeMarcus every Sunday would meet me at the weight room every Sunday for a year and a half. Because I had this coach and I'd open it up for him. That guy worked out with me every day on Sundays. And that's what he did. He's just like, you can't do that. He won the Outland for the second year, which is best defensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's the 10th overall pick that year.
Nice.
So I was like, I have no credit for what DeMarcus Ware's talent is. I feel bad because in hindsight, I was like, I was a lunatic. I did some crazy shit, man. I would walk the golf course with a 100-pound plate over my head. Like silliness, like 18 holes I'd walk. It's just crazy shit. So I'm telling you these things because don't do them, number one. You don't need to. I was just a bit of a mental case and still am.
Yeah, you know, like I said, a gut check, well organized. So if something happens, you actually have time to heal.
Yeah.
Those are fine. You know, we just had this conversation with my group at the academy. You know, they're planning the next gut check. You know, some of them are trying to run a marathon, trying to ruck a marathon. Some are talking about the 50 JFK 50 miler. And I'm like, okay, we're going way past gut check, you know, especially on your timeline, because you know, what happened 2 years ago when I told you guys not to do the JFK 50 miler and you couldn't run for 3 months afterwards, and then you shipped to Buds 2 months later after not running for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, and it just a bad snowball. So you got to really time your poor thinking gut checks.
Yeah.
And try to make them a little bit better for you. But, you know, that's where a lot of gut checking occurs in running events, you know, but
Here's what we should do, Stu. Here's what we do for now on. Any of my guys, because I have 18 guys showing up on Sunday.
Okay.
Any of my guys want a gut check, I'm going to send them to you.
Okay.
For a day, just to like build, like beat the hell out of them. If they want a gut check, just send you. If your guys want one, they could send them down here to Virginia Beach. I'll give them a couple hours training session that they can get their gut check.
There you go. All right. So sounds good.
We'll, swap students or do a student swap.
That'd be good. Yeah, we just did a Spec Ops triathlon with a Devil's Mile. That sucked. But it was fun. You know, it wasn't too many miles. Like I said, it was a 4 mile run, 4 mile ruck, 1 mile swim, and then the Devil's Mile is a bunch of little events that
for the last mile.
Yeah, where you lunge and you fireman carry and you burpee broad jump.
You curse a lot.
And what was the other one? Oh, bear crawl.
Oh, yeah. I just saw somebody yesterday posted that they were going to, I don't know who it was. It was just like in a feed. Someone's going to marathon a bear crawl for a marathon, the New York Marathon. Or no, they have to qualify for that. So which one? Boston, you don't qualify for, right? Ooh, New York, you do.
That's crazy.
But you have to, so or it was a Marine Corps marathon. He was going to, the Marine Corps marathon is pretty cool. If you ever get, I would never run a marathon again. Never, really would never do it.
Me either.
The one that the coolest one I've ever seen, other than the Rock and Roll in San Diego, I would, if I loved marathons, that's when I would seek out, or I would seek out the Marine Corps marathon. That's a really cool,
They have one at Disney I would consider. You run the whole Disney park.
There you go. There you go. I would do one if it was like in the big park, Glacier National Park or something that. It'd be amazing. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, or Yellowstone, but anyways, folks, we're getting off on track. So, but running, enjoy it.
It's something, like I said, don't do too much of it, 'cause it will break you.
Yeah.
Right. It will end your dreams too, if you don't run fast enough.
Yeah.
So
the problem with too much running too, it's too hard. You have to take too much time off to let your body heal. It's like the marathoners, guys. It's like, take it easy. You want to work as hard as you can, but don't work any harder than you need to. Like that. It's a weird, that's not a lazy statement. That's just the reality of what it is.
Yeah. My recommendation is cut your running in half and double your swimming.
There you go.
Right. Yep. That way you get all the anaerobic,
cardiovascular training. Yeah. Do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was fun, Jeff. Thanks again.
You bet,
Stu. And we'll do it again. You guys go check out firstperformanceus.com, Jeff's website, mine, stusmithfitness.com.
Boom.
Go to both of them.
Do it.
We'll see you later.
Later.